I'm very happy to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Hank Hughes. He's Executive Director of the New Mexico Coalition to End Homelessness. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. It's great to be back.
It's always good to have you on the show talking about this issue that is all around us here in New Mexico. You are working on a plan to end veteran homelessness this year and chronic homelessness next year in the state of New Mexico. What is the nature and what is the scope of each of these problems?
So this is we're part of a national effort, not all across the nation, but a number of communities have signed on to try and end veteran homelessness and chronic homelessness. And in part, these are smaller parts of the overall homeless population. And so it's a doable goal to end veteran homelessness. There's probably counted about 250 homeless veterans across the state a couple years ago when we did our count, and we're going to do another count next week to try and get an idea of how many homeless veterans are still out there. In terms of chronic homelessness, we're talking about people with disabilities who've been homeless a long time. And in that case, we found about 500 people 2 years ago, and we're going to again do a count next week. So these are smaller groups among the thousands of people who are homeless in New Mexico, but among the most deserving and needy of the homeless people.
What do their lives look like? I mean, what are their days like? Where are they eating and sleeping and living?
Well, I think veteran homelessness and chronic homelessness overlap quite a bit. There are, of course, some of the reasons veterans are homeless are because of disabilities, and some of them have been out there a long time. So we're really talking about some of the people who sleep outside year-round. They might come in to the winter shelter here in Santa Fe on the coldest nights, but a lot of these people do not like sleeping in shelters, and so they prefer camping out. In Albuquerque, a lot of people sleep in the bosque down along the river in the forest there. In Santa Fe, of course, people sleep along the river here or up toward the mountains a little bit.
And are they in community? Are they in pairs or small groups? Do they tend to be alone?
A little of each, I think. I think there are some camps, but a lot of people really prefer to be by themselves, especially if they were in the military and had some very troubling experiences. Sometimes people just want to be apart from society. And so what we're trying to do is offer these people housing, because even though they don't like sleeping in shelters, sometimes, you know, as they've been outside for a while, their health starts to deteriorate. And so the idea of having an apartment of their own can be very appealing. And you know, people often say, oh, well, don't people just want to be homeless? Well, they may prefer sleeping outside to sleeping in a shelter. I mean, I think if I was homeless, I would prefer sleeping outside to sleeping in a shelter. But that doesn't mean that they don't want a home of their own where they can cook and be warm in the winter and feel safe at night.
So what kinds of services are they currently accessing?
Well, so I did mention that probably on the colder nights, people come in to winter shelters. There's the one in Santa Fe that's in the old Pete's Pets building on Cerrillos Road. But often, even if they don't come inside, they will come to the Resource Center on Cerrillos Road for food or one of the other soup kitchens around town. And so they would come in for food. They would come in for medical care, mental health services. So they may access quite a few daytime services.
Now, since Ronald Reagan became president a long time ago now, 34 years, I think, actually, almost exactly 34 years since he became president, and the problem of homelessness increased greatly due to policies like a decrease in housing funding and things like that. And since then, a lot of programs to combat homelessness have sprung up, like yours and many others around the country. What do successful responses to homelessness look like, both here in New Mexico and nationwide?
Well, I think that's a good point. And of course, in the 1980s, with Ronald Reagan and thinking differently about housing policy, the funding for public housing has gone way, way down, and it continues to go down. Funding for homelessness, which is a small part of that public housing thing, has been increasing. slightly over the years. But what we found is really successful is permanent housing with supportive services. I think there was an idea in the 80s when things got started that homelessness was temporary, that people would work themselves out of it easily. And so we developed a lot of emergency shelters and transitional housing where people could stay for a short period of time. And that does work for some people. Some people, particularly and interestingly enough, immigrants who sometimes end up homeless but are actually very capable, smart people can work themselves out of homelessness just from a homeless shelter. But a lot of people who are homeless have disabilities, either, you know, total disabilities that mean they can't work at all, or minor disabilities that mean they have a hard time finding a job that they can actually do. And for those people, we have found that really the housing needs to be indefinite in term. And so, in other words, people can stay in the permanent supportive housing that we've created now as long as they need to. And that doesn't mean that it's forever, but it means that as long as they think they need it, they can stay. And that works the best. The other part about what really works is what we call the housing first model. I think under some old-fashioned type programs, people had to be clean and sober and had to have their mental health under control, and then as a reward they were given housing. And what we found now is that give them the housing first, and then it's a lot easier for them to work on their mental health, behavioral health, other disability problems from the security of their own home.
Of course, it's important that those services exist in the first place. If you've got post-traumatic people, veterans or otherwise, who have mental health issues, there need to be services to help them.
Well, exactly. And that is one of the biggest problems facing homeless people is, you know, even if they can get the housing, being able to get the services. So we found in the most successful programs, the program itself has to employ a service coordinator or case manager whose job is to kind of fill in the gaps in the services and also advocate for their clients to get them into various services.
So what is the Zero 2016 plan?
So the Zero 2016 plan is for us to count all the homeless veterans and all the chronically homeless people and then develop a monthly target of how many of those we're going to house in our various housing programs around the state until we get to a point where, not quite zero, but where no one would have to stay homeless more than a month of the chronically homeless or veteran homeless people. So in other words, if we need to house 10 veterans a month to get down to zero based on what we count next week, we would hope that by the end of this year, when we count next year, there would only be 10 homeless veterans left.
Right.
And then we can keep housing those. I mean, it's going to be an ongoing process because people will be coming home and becoming homeless or, you know, for whatever reasons, falling out of their housing situation. So we're always going to be rehousing people, but we're hopeful that we can get to the point where it doesn't take more than a month to get people back into housing.
When we're talking about homeless veterans, I mean, there's a lot of work that's been done, and a lot of people know Vietnam veterans who have faced the kind of challenges that led to their being homeless. What about veterans coming home from the wars of the 21st century?
So, yeah, the homeless people are, homeless veterans constitute all of those wars. There are still, unfortunately, a number of Vietnam veterans who are still homeless. But we've worked with, or seen our programs work with homeless veterans from the Iraq wars and Afghanistan.
And so these are basically young people.
Right, so these are young people. And I think what we found is that sometimes the reasons people are homeless actually go back to before their military service. Sometimes people sign up to be in the military to get out of bad situations.
Right.
And so these are people whose mental health is already probably a little bit compromised, and then going into combat and the military doesn't help that situation much, and then they come out worse.
Now, are you working on any of this in the context of the legislative session that's going on right now?
Well, yes, we are. We're working with the state Human Services Department in particular to try and boost the state's funding for supportive housing and the services that go along with it. And this year, of course, with the change in the House of Representatives to Republican control, and also the fact that there's not much new money available, we think we'll be playing more of a defensive game,
right,
holding on to the money and the services that we already have.
What does the kind of housing that you're looking for or that already exists for homeless folks to be housed in, what does that look like?
Well, there's basically two forms that the housing for homeless people takes. And some of it is housing that is built specifically for homeless people. And the best of that is built within mixed income apartment communities. So in Santa Fe, we have two of those that are really good examples, Village Sage and Stagecoach Apartments, that the Housing Trust developed. And in each of those, the Housing Trust designated a quarter of the apartments to be for formerly homeless people. And so the nice thing is that being a mixed income community, there is money flowing through from the rent paid by the working tenants to keep the place nice and all, and it doesn't become a homeless sort of ghetto. But also then the apartments that are for homeless people are kept very, very affordable. And then the other form that it takes is the form of vouchers, which also allows for a mixed income setting, because homeless people then can choose an apartment that they want in any apartment community or house, small house, that's within the income and rent limit guidelines.
Are there issues with landlords wanting or not wanting to rent to homeless folks?
Well, of course. But the programs that work well usually have good relationships with landlords. And so there is something in it for the landlord, because if the federal government or the state or the city, whoever's providing the voucher, is paying the rent, then the landlord is guaranteed they're going to get the rent.
Right.
So that part is good for them. And then often what landlords worry about is, well, if this person has a mental health problem, are they going to act out? Are they going to disturb my other tenants? And so it's important that there be someone that the landlord can contact, you know, when there are problems, so that they can be taken care of quickly.
Hank Hughes, anything that you would like our listeners to know before we go today?
Well, I think, you know, the other thing I'd like to add is we have a group of veterans called Veterans Helping Homeless Veterans, which is a committee of our coalition, and they raise money to provide to the various organizations that specifically help homeless veterans. And so if anyone in Santa Fe out there is really interested in helping out in a more personal and hands-on way, getting involved with that group, we would welcome their help.
Hank Hughes is Executive Director of the New Mexico Coalition to End Homelessness. They are on the web at nmceh.org. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having me.